nine chefs are from Mexico, and they may or may not be legal. But Ecuadorians, Salvadorans work in the kitchens of these extremely expensive restaurants to feed mostly white Americans, largely folks with deep pockets and thick wallets, and in a lot of Republicans. Okay, so there are myriad areas in which 11 million immigrants carry our country. And I'm going to go ahead and say something here, and I frankly don't give a damn if it grates on some or not. There was a time when millions upon millions of people different from white America carried this country on their backs. And they did it in North Carolina and Virginia and Kentucky and Tennessee and Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Florida, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas. And they were called slaves. And that whole region ran on their labor. Now, the states I just laid out to you, with the addition of New Mexico, Arizona, California, Colorado, Illinois, Oregon, Washington. Look, it's the whole country, okay? We run on the labors of immigrants. We are running, don't kid yourself, on slave labor. It was slave labor before 1860, and it is slave labor in 2001. Now, I could sit here and scream and holler and cuss and carry on and have an on-air fit. But I don't think it's called for, because the right wing is doing a perfectly lovely job of having a fit all by themselves about illegal immigrants. Tom Tancredo, that cretin that we have referenced from time to time, a congressman from Colorado, who was a junior high school teacher, and he ran for Congress because, you know, he hated the Mexicans. And we have an immigration crisis in the United States. Oh, bite me, Tom Tancredo. I don't ask for a hell of a lot on this program. Ask? Who am I to ask? I'm lucky to be doing it. But I do rather demand candor and honesty. And that's a promise that I make to you, and it's a promise you do a lovely job of fulfilling in return. And candor in the immigration debate simply demands that we acknowledge what in the world is going on in America. This, the flood of immigrants, you know, and you, again, remember, the anti-immigrant people are in bed with the Klan, all right? It just is what it is. They're Klansmen. They are hating people for the, you know, and you can always see it, you know, it raised its head in this state with a bunch of clowns in the legislature wanting to make English the official language of West Virginia. And official language statutes have been passed in various and sundry other states. And there is a full-blown right-wing movement to declare English the official language of America, when most of the right-wing can't even speak it well enough for it to be considered their first. No, I'm not kidding. I mean, that's, like I said, the hysteria is aplenty on the right-wing, so I'm going to do my very dead-level best to keep my wits about me and not have a great big old honking hissy and talk about this coolly and rationally and ask questions about what the real, because again, we are caught in a Republican frame. What is the real immigration debate? Is it the number of Mexican and Central American slaves that we should allow across the border and pay substandard wages to? Is that the debate? If that's the debate, then we've already lost it. Now, I hope you get what I hope you understand what I'm getting at, and you do. This is not a Mexican issue. This is not a you know, Salvador and Guatemala and Honduran. This isn't any of those issues. This is a human rights issue. Because if immigration, and hell, I mean, can we, if Mexicans, we're not talking about Frenchmen or Irish or Germans or Swedes, or no, we're talking about Mexicans. We're talking about Hondurans, Guatemalans. Okay? It's a human rights issue. And it is a question of what a human being is entitled to. And by entitled, I mean they've got it coming because they're humans. There's a UN Declaration of Human Rights out there. Are we even signatory? I know we're not signatory to the rights of the child. But we're talking about a nation that once again is running on slave labor. And we've sort of generalized illegal immigrants. And Tom Tancredo, who I was talking about a minute ago, in response to the 50,000 people who turned out Saturday in Denver, just demanding, praying, begging that Republicans not try to turn them into criminals just for being who they are. Tom Tancredo said, well, there wouldn't have been as many of them if the INS had been here looking at IDs and hauling off the illegals in buses. Tom Tancredo is, of course, a racist. He's as much a racist as any dude in a white sheet and pillowcase. You know, I wonder how he feels in the presence of Ken Salazar, senator from Colorado. As Hispanic as the day is long, we'll say he's an American. Do you understand how screwed up this debate is? These clowns, the Minutemen, who are sitting down on the California and Arizona and New Mexico and Texan borders, waiting for an opportunity to bust a cap in the occasional brown dude. This is no different than the abolition debate prior to the Civil War. This is an emancipation issue. Well, what do you want to do, Bob? Just let them all come across the border? They can't all come across the border. Then Mexico would be empty. This is a con. This is three-card Monty. Because these Republicans are merely playing to their racist natures. They're playing to the racist white people that make up their party. Hollering about how the brown people are going to be the downfall of America. Newsflash to racist Republicans. The brown people are America. And whether you want to acknowledge it or not, they're the future of America. And I'm not disturbed in the least by that. Right now, you know, go look at a list. Go look at a list of the numbers and names of those who have died in George Bush's Iraq War. Just do it. Tell me how many Reyes you see. Tell me how many Perez. Tell me how many Hispanic names you see in the list of the dead. It will be disproportionately higher than the presence of Hispanics in this nation. It will not be statistically comparable to the Hispanic population. We want them to fight our wars. We want them to die. We want them to pick our food. We want them to build our businesses. God knows we want them to build our Walmarts. But we don't want to afford them a vote. We don't want to afford them citizenship. And by we, I don't mean us. I mean we as in we the people. We, this time I mean us, have been sucked into another bogus horse crap debate. Framed up by the single biggest racist enterprise in the United States. And by that, I mean the Republican Party. And I'm sure you've got an idea of where this is going. But I want to make sure that we flesh this out really, really well, because it is big in the news right now, and it deserves our attention, because we owe it to our nation to make sure that we are not suckered in to another stupid, divisive, wedge issue driven Republican election year debate. And you better damned well understand that this thing is coming to the forefront right now, when it is, where it is, because the Republican Party is on the run for its very life. So we're going to spend some time on this. I hope you'll join me in it. I want to think this through. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. That's the thing about this show. We talk about the stuff that matters. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando? I remember long ago another starry night like this. In the twilight, Fernando, you were humming to yourself and softly strumming your guitar. I could hear the distant drums and sounds of bugle calls were coming from they were closer now, Fernando. Every hour, every minute seemed to last eternally. I was so afraid, Fernando.
Head on.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of 6 U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of my grandmother is also my lover or something like that. Oh, that's just a...
Join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
Conservatives? We don't need no stinking conservatives. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Okay, Okay, so we're going to talk about this, and it's not necessarily going to be easy, and it's already complicated enough. Art in the chat room knows that it is noted that it is a tough topic. And it is. And as I responded, it's made the more so because we have sat around and let it be framed this way. Here's the first hint. This is not an immigration issue. This is a labor issue. This is this is what I posted in my blog entry at headonradionetwork.com and WD40.com. This is the golden opportunity of the 21st century for the return of organized labor in this country. Because this is the same. There's nothing new in this. In this immigration debate, there's absolutely nothing new, and it is a cooked up load of hooey by the Republican right meant to engender hate and fear and distrust among their lily white voting ranks. But when you sit down and you consider throughout the Southwest, who looks after the well-heeled Republicans' children? Who cooks their meals? Who tends their lawns? Who builds the additions on their homes, or who builds their McMansions? These so-called illegals do. That's who. And yet they want to. They would turn them, criminalize them. Or then there's George Bush's guest worker program, and he says that we need to have a civil debate. Funny, however, whenever anything touches on a social tinderbox that could actually light up poor working people, we're reminded that it has to be civil. Now, please don't march on Washington. I don't want to see your millions of people out in front of the White House. Don't do that. You had a half a million in Los Angeles. I know that. Y'all just stay there. I don't want to see you. Okay? I mean, next thing you know, our girl Lupe will be going out in the street and protesting too. What the hell will it come to then? You all be civil. Being told to be civil by George Bush just makes me want to be all the meaner. Because civility is not going to get us anywhere in this debate. I welcome immigrants. Immigrants always make this country better. Not worse. A whole bunch of this listening audience a couple of generations ago were immigrants. My people in 1745 were immigrants. Everybody who's not an immigrant, well, you know what the answer to that one is, don't you? Let's go to the phones. Bob and Bob's calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
I just want to give a shout out to a dear friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in a coon's age. You know what that means?
Yes, I do.
Okay, in a long time. His name is Guillermo Archuleta. Dear, dear friend of mine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
From way back when nobody gave a damn about us. And he was an American of Mexican extraction.
Okay.
Who fought for this country. And we sat in he was a supply sergeant at the time, and I was just one of them buck sergeants. And I walked into a supply room one day, and there were staff sergeants and first sergeants, and we were getting ready for, Christmas, and we had lots of candy and stuff in there for the kids. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Marines do that.
Sure.
It's a thing we did that back then in the day. But the guys, they were all standing around and said, gosh, it smells strange in here. You know, it's it's kind of funny. I smell different things and I don't understand them. And they looked at Guillermo and they said, Sergeant, what is this? And he said, I don't know. I walked in and I looked at him, and Guillermo looked at me and he said, Bob, he says, what is this smell? And I said, it's an SP package, a SP package.
Okay.
You know what an SP package was? They call it a Sunday package or whatever.
Okay.
It was, they sent out, they sent out gear for us, okay? And they sent out candy, and they sent out cigarettes and cigars and stuff, and they packed it in a big box, and they called it an SP package. And we get it usually on Sunday, but not always. It'd be, you know, whenever they could get it to us. And I say, hey, this place smells like an SP package. And all of them, oh, yeah, an SP package. But they didn't know. Most of them didn't know. The staff, the first sergeants, and the gunnery sergeants, they didn't know what the hell it smelled like. It was just kind of funny to them. But for Guillermo and I, Guillermo looked at me, and he knew I knew. And he says, well, what is it, Bob? You know, like that.
Yeah.
Because we had both been in the field. We had both been there,
mm-hmm.
where that was so special. It was a special, but oh God, it was so special. I got some of these things they called chiclets and some of these little candies and stuff. And God, I'd sit there and I would enjoy them, and he would too. You know, and we'd talk about, you know, hey, people get down on Mexican people.
I don't know why.
Well, they get down on them because if they can't get down on them, then they got to get down on the blacks. If they get down on the blacks, blacks are going to kick their ass. So let's pick on the Hispanics, okay?
Yeah.
And they're always picking on somebody that, less in stature or less in...
power?
Yes. Absolutely, less in power. It's kind of like them toaster people. I talked about it the other day.
Yep.
They look in the mirror, they look in the toaster, they see themselves, they see nothing else.
And it's the whole world to them.
And it's the whole world, and nothing else matters. But they ain't never been in a bad place where a little bit of candy would make you just, hey, excited, and you would just... Hey, you just lay there in the dirt with your friend. His name was Guillermo Archuleta. Do you know what the name Guillermo means?
William?
William, yes. And I have a son, William.
Ah. William
Martin Matson, named for my friend and named for his strength. Because he was a courageous man. I'm not sure where he's at. He had a...
Well, like I said, look at the if you were to look at the demographics of who's fighting in the American military right now.
I have so many. But yeah, I know.
Lopez, Rodriguez, Gutierrez, Perez.
Yes, I know the demographics, Bob. It's always us boys from the cornfields, like you talked about. Okay.
Yeah.
And us boys from the cabbage patches or the lettuce fields or the onion fields that go and pick the fruit and feed the nation and are always put down by en masse the fat white people, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they don't. Hey, it's kind of like. I bleed for the miners that go under those hills and for the families that their homes are destroyed. I mean, I just do. But the thing is, we are a nation, like you said, of immigrants.
And all slaves. Don't forget the slaves.
The slaves? Bob? couldn't bring enough whites as indentured servants. So now we started to rape a country and bring, a continent and bring their people here as slaves. And then we ended up with my black brothers, like Andrew in New York, that talked so eloquently, much more eloquently than I ever could. And I just don't hear enough of the voices from my Hispanic, because I have so much history, but I don't have much.
Well, I wish, for my part, Bob, I wish I had time to, the only way to learn a language is to immerse yourself in it. I'd love to go somewhere and learn and be fluent in Spanish and be able to say some of what I say in that wonderful language. Because one of the things that was abundantly clear to me out of Saturday's rallies, Bob, is the fact that and it was confirmed for me by a couple of other people. These were rallies about human dignity and about begging that they not be criminalized. 11 million humans made criminals by the stroke of a Republican pen. And yet, by the same token, Bob, there was not a comprehension, if I understand the information I received correctly, there was not a comprehension that there is one side in this country that means well, and that there is another side that means them ill, and the fact that, and they don't understand, they're not getting that, because, like I noted, if the reality was really comprehended, that march would have started 500,000 strong in Los Angeles, and it would be on its way to Washington, and by the time it got there, it would be 10 million strong.
Well, maybe it's time that,
There were literally thousands upon thousands of people who turned out in Greensboro, North Carolina. 50,000 in Denver.
Join them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But the thing is,
because
we must understand, and you know this.
Stop thinking about it that way.
No, Bob, I'm not going to stop thinking about it this way. What I'm getting at is you understand tactics. If you don't know who your enemy is, you're going to have a hell of a hard time fighting the war. And right now, in this debate, I think there is a lack of comprehension of who the enemy is. And the enemy in this debate is the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
And it is the money-grubbing contractors who are willing to work people at slave wages. It's corporate agriculture that needs to pay somebody a substandard wage and doesn't give a damn whether they live or die, so that they can charge 10 cents less on a head of lettuce or a stalk of celery. That's the daggum enemy, Bob.
Absolutely. And you know what the thing is that we got to do? We really have to unite as people. I mean, as human beings, and accept the fact that there are no ragheads in this world. There are no niggers in this world. There are no spicks in this world. There are no wetbacks in this world. There are only human beings. I've used some slurs.
I know, but you didn't use them as slurs. I understand, Bob.
No, I didn't use them as
but
slurs.
No, you're right. There are only human beings, and within that group of human beings, there are two sets. There are human beings who are workers, and there are human beings who are not.
That's right. And now it's time that the workers and the human beings of this world unite. I mean, there are people that can't work, like our friend Gene out there in Washington or wherever he's from. And there are people that are incapable of doing certain jobs that we have to just carry, okay? I've heard a lot of Christians talk about their, when Jesus picks them up on their back and there's only one set of footprints in the sand, is when Jesus is carrying them. Well, guess what? Jesus just told them, get off my ass. Okay? Period. Okay, Jesus just told them, get off it and get with it and pick up your brother and carry him for a while and don't expect me to carry you anymore. And my friend Jesus, I say to you, okay, you are my brother. I've been there with you, and you've been with me, and we survived against after another, first a Democratic, and it was supposed to be Democratic, but wasn't. Johnson wasn't a Democrat, nor was Nixon, nor, you know, Ford, okay? And I was under those administrations, and Carter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Carter started bringing it back. We started putting things together. Then what came?
The thing from another planet.
From hell, Reagan. And he tore this country asunder. And then we went back to doing what we were doing back in 66 and 67 and 68. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now, what do we got? We got another Reagan, or less than Reagan. I mean,
yeah, just when we thought it couldn't get any worse than Reagan, it did.
It got worse than Nixon. It got worse than Nixon. It got so bad that now we're thinking about, what, nuking Iran? Well, if we do that, kiss your kids goodnight tonight and say goodbye, because tomorrow we all die. That's how stupid this thing is.
Yeah, that is. That is. I tell you what, Bob, that's what I'm getting at. This debate has got to, we've got to understand the meaning of it. You know, if you look at the map, and I got a map of the United States right here in the studio, I expect people to come from Mexico to Arizona, to California, to New Mexico, to Texas, because they share a common border, and that border is artificial.
Yes, it is.
So people are going to come back and
Canada.
Yeah, people are going to come back and forth. Now,
you see how many Canadians are just driving their cars into North Dakota and trying to set up an establishment or come to work here. I mean, the Canadians are just pouring across the border.
Can't stop the Canadians. You're up to your neck in Canadians.
No, we're not.
No, you're not.
No, we're not. You know why we're not? We got better roads down here than they got up there. I've been up there lots of times, okay? And the thing is, we've got better roads down here. But, hey, they got something better up there than we got. You know?
Yeah.
They actually have a working republic. I mean, it may not be, the way we would like it to go, but it works for the Canadians. And they're happy with it. And they're not driving down here and, and coming across here, sneaking across the border from Canada.
Right, and they're not in an economic position, Bob, where fat cat Republicans can prey on them. That's why I keep talking. I mean, that's why I said I expect there to be a certain interplay of human beings across the contiguous border with our southern neighbor. But look where they're complaining now. Look where the white people are having a hissy. They're having a hissy in Virginia. They're having a hissy in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee.
Guess what they're building in my town?
What's that?
A super Walmart.
Ick.
Guess who's building it?
No, I know who's building it. I know how they do it.
Yeah, they brought in a bunch of illegals.
Once they get the walls up and people can't, huh?
They got caught doing it. They got caught bringing illegals to build their building, and now it's kind of everything's kind of shut down until we go through this big court case because the. Walmart sneaking, actually importing people to do slave labor for them. And it's been shut down.
Yeah.
And they did it. They've been doing it across the state. And now they got caught, and they just kind of, we're not building it, you know. And I'm asking my city, the people that, kind of got together with these Walmart people and decided to shut down the first Walmart and build a super Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Just exactly what they were thinking about, you know? And they're telling us, they told us they'd do this, they'd do that, and they would get better, more taxes and all this stuff to the city. And it's always the bottom line. They're always looking for bucks. But I said, hey, you're going to shut down the you're going to kill the town. You're just going to kill Williston completely. And they said, we're not going to kill Tom. They'll bring us more taxes. No, they won't. They'll take everything. They'll drain you. They'll suck it out like a succubus. Just use you up. And wake up, people, and take a look at what corporate America is doing to America. Because corporate America is a huge monster that's sucking your life and sucking out all of your democracy, turning it into a theocracy of a sort that is not a theocracy. It's more like hell on earth. So, excuse me, Bob.
It's okay.
I'll let you go.
No, that's I understand. I understand.
I just wanted to shout out to my dearest and my blood brother, my brother of turmoil, Guillermo Archuleta, and say to him, I hope you're doing well, my friend. And I pray to my concept of God, which is not something out of science fiction. It's just a sense of togetherness that maybe, and I pray that one day I could meet him and he is wonderful. Oh, God, we had so many good times together as young Marines, and our families were together.
Oh, and speaking of Marines, Bob, did you notice the story of the latest recruiting attempt by the Corps?
Yeah.
The 78-year-old lady?
Geriatric Marine, 72 years old?
Yeah.
My God, Bob. They're scraping not the bottom of the barrel. They're digging into the grave.
Yeah, they're taking the barrel apart, Bob.
No, they're digging into the grave. They're pulling up corpses or people that are just about corpses.
Well, that was just a paperwork mistake, although I have yet to understand.
I'm sure it was, Bob. I'm sure everything's a paperwork mistake.
All right, Bob, you have yourself a great night. Take care, all right? Talk to you soon.
And love you much. Love Agnes. And I'm not stalking her.
We know you're not, man. We know. We love you, brother.
Love you much. Bye.
Take care. Bye now. And a quick break, then we'll come back and continue this discussion. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Que no me entiendas, eres la reina en cualquier lugar, y yo me dejo si tú quieres jugar. Pero más es amar, pero más es amar.
Head On.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
It's Grace.
We're actually very boring people, Rama. That's why we call ourselves homebodies.
Well, it's Rama.
Sure. I mean, group sex for us is when we're both involved.
That's a
It's really, really smart.
We're a nice little Petri dish here in Vermont because you can experiment.
Join Grace and Rama, homebodies, every Sunday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the web at homebodies.ramabahama.net.
broadcasting live from a remote, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then, 14 minutes before the hour. I keep, and I'm sure, you know, especially if you read the blog entry, you know where I'm going. Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. You know that there, it's not as obvious. It's not as obvious why there would be an immigrant issue in those states unless you are prone to thinking about labor. And the answer to the question is three simple words. Right to work. Republicans and so-called conservatives and business leaders screamed for those states to be right-to-work states. And, of course, the people who harbor hate and fear in their hearts, and that's a lot of the middle class and certainly a lot of the lower class, they went right along with it and said, I don't need no union. Union's time is gone. We got safe workplaces. We get 2 days off every week. We don't need no union. And we need, and I don't want nobody making me be part of no union neither. So we won't be right to work state. And you know what? North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, baby, you are right to work state, sunshine. Virginia, Old Dominion. You're right to work states. And look what it's cost you. And now, because you passed those hateful right to work laws, you're bitching. Because people came there who would work for less than you were willing to? Suckers. Rubes. Let's go to the phones. Rick is with us. Hey, Rick, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing? Had a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a good weekend, I thought.
Look, man, I'm not only am I on morphine and my back is throbbing, but my kid gave me a Japanese cold. He got back after 2 months out to sea.
Oh, beautiful. You got to be in a real happy place.
I'm going to sound horrible, but I wanted to call in and weigh in on something.
Go ahead.
But when I was 19, I followed in my father's footsteps, and I joined Amtrak Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making more money than any kid that was my age. And I was making more money than most adults, 10 times my senior. But I was really mad because out of every paycheck, they took out $36. And if you didn't, and those were called union dues, and I couldn't stand it. And I would say to my father, I would say, I have a right to do this job without having to pay for it. And he'd sit me down and give me the all union speech all over again. And if I didn't get it, he'd chase me around the room, try to punch me in the face, you know, or something like that, because he was a diehard Irish union man. But the thing of it is that. By the time I was 23, and I had been with Amtrak 4 or 5 years, I had a warehouse. See, I was what's known as a material control clerk. And I was using a forklift, and we had this brand-new warehouse. And to make a long story short, I got hurt in an accident that broke my back and some other bones, which I now suffer from all these years later. But the first thing that came a-running was my shop steward. That was the first person that came a running. He made sure they got me an ambulance, got me taken out of there, and then he made sure that I was on a list that had this fund that took care of all my home expenses, not just my, you know, the railroad was great at that time. They'd pay for all your medical because of the union. But I didn't have to worry about how I was going to make my apartment, because we didn't own at that time, me and my wife.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to worry about that, or how I'd pay for the car or pay for the light. It was all taken care of. And my father came up and saw me after about 6 months recuperation. I spent 2 years in a back brace. And then he said to me, he said, what do you think about the union now? And I said, that is the greatest idea I've ever seen. And then the railroad turned around and abolished my job, and the union fought for me.
Yeah.
They said, if you're going to abolish his job, you got to pay him off. Well, to make a long story short, I got a huge settlement because they didn't want me back. And that allowed me to go on into another career and make a living and support my family, and I couldn't pick up anything anymore, but I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a union does.
Yeah, it's brothers and sisters. It is the very manifestation of, for people who use this paradigm, it's the very manifestation of Christianity.
Yeah, it really is. I mean,
you know, look, Jesus was a carpenter. Okay, I mean,
yeah.
We're sponsored by the carpenters.
I think that's what
Jesus would have been a union man.
I used to post on this website. I think it's defunct now because every time I've gone back, there's nothing there. It was called TakeBackTheMedia.com. Ever heard of them?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, well, I was a guy that always posted there. I was called The Him.
Okay.
And I would always post there, and I was always trying to debate subjects and everything like that. And the one thing that I discovered, and I said this in one of the posts a long time ago, and that was, is that it seemed to me that Republicans lacked a clear sense of community. It's like they honestly would preach their whole biblical sense, which I subscribe to. I'm a Christian, a diehard Christian. I pray every day. And I don't have any problem with God or Jesus. I just hate churches. But the thing of the matter is that they seem to preach rhetoric, and then they have no sense of community, of the very community that Jesus and God was instructing them to
be
a part of.
Well, they not only don't have it, Rick, they have no interest in it, okay?
Well, they seem, it almost seems like, they seem like snotty children, spoiled, rotten brat.
Well, there's a story out there, there's a study out there now that suggests that you've just hit the nail on the head.
Really?
Yeah, psychologists have determined that, as you grow up, we all remember our first grade mates and things like that, and we remember the ones who cried and whined and, just little putrid pukes. They grow up to be Republicans and conservatives.
Well, that makes sense. And that explains me, because I kicked a nun when I was 5 years old. I kicked out of Catholic school. I'm not kidding you. That's absolutely true. But it does. It's like they remind me of the little kid at the supermarket that mommy won't let them do whatever they want, even though it's dangerous to them. So they plank themselves on their butt, slam their feet and their hands against the floor, and start screaming, going wah! And then they'll actually slap their mother. I've seen kids do that,
yeah.
And that's what they remind me of. That type of people that are just, I want, damn it, I want.
And they don't give a rat's rear end, Rick, about the republic or about constitutional government, because these guys want what they're, they want to grab as much as they can get before somebody digs a hole and puts them in it and they're dead.
I know, and I remember that horrible bumper sticker back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s.
He who dies with the most toys wins.
Yes. You remember it.
Yeah, and I always loved the one that responded to it, said, "He who dies with the most toys is dead."
Well, I never saw that one up in New York. But, I mean, because they all had that other one, man. We're talking about guys that swore to the movie Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
Greed is good, And I was.
But, we're not having anything approaching a legitimate discussion or debate or whatever you want to call it about the immigration issue.
No, we're not, and I'm outraged. I'm outraged that story right there, this rally, got as much press as it did, not because they don't deserve it, but because they opened that pipe. They opened that pipe, the TV news channels and the radio media, everybody's covering this story because it's what Bush wants.
Well, you understand why they're covering that group of people.
Well, now, yeah, because I understand the willing worker. I understand the guest worker law.
Yeah, a half a million people in Washington, D.C., just demanding that the war in Iraq be ended. The mainstream media is going to take a powder on that because, they know the war's not going to end. It's not in their best interest for the war to end. It's headlines, man. It's
not good. If you build war toys. Like,
it's good for
all their sponsors or their owners.
Yeah, it's good for business. On the other hand, if 500,000 Hispanics get together in Los Angeles, California, that will make the evening news five nights running because that is frightening to white America, Rick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that scares whitey.
But it's deeper than that. I swear, it's deeper than that. But let me just repeat this. I said this on the show at least once, And I tell everybody this every time I can get a chance to talk to them about the guest worker program, and I'll try to be as quick as possible. Agnes, you know, if you got to drop me, drop me. Here's where we go. The willing worker, guest worker program works like this. It's not written that way yet, but it's going to be there. First off, what happens is that it'll start out slow and easy, and they'll just be taking the jobs that you don't want. That's picking celery, lettuce, framing houses, putting on roofs, aerospace, okay? And then they'll get to the point where an employer will have the right to be able to say to you, Mr. and Mrs. America, they're going to have the right to say to you, look, under law, I put this on the want ads international. I advertised your job. Now, I'm willing to pay $3 an hour for your job. But I'll tell you what, according to the law, you have first right of refusal before I can hire an alien because we have to protect the American worker. Do you want to do your job that you're getting $9 an hour for now for $3?
Right, and what's the answer to that?
Well, the answer is...
The answer, Rick, is not government. It's not government. It's not legislation. The answer is an energized, dedicated, rejuvenated, organized labor.
Absolutely, and your post was so right on. And if anybody hasn't read that, they got to go up there to what is it? HeadOnRadioNetwork.net
or .com or WD40.com.
Whatever.
It's in both places.
It's everywhere. As I asked you, you got to send this out to every representative and senator that there is because that is that important and that right on. Yes, absolutely. I mean, but the thing of it is, you've got to get people in America, which is the hardest thing. Right now, there's people sitting there right now going, to what I just said, no way, that can't happen. If it can't happen, how come you ain't got no job that is equivalent to what your father had 20 years ago? On pay rate, on Benny's, on the ability to buy a house.
Right.
Tell me what you got besides a paycheck that doesn't make it, so your wife has to work. Just explain it to me.
Well, God knows right-wing America does not want that explained to them. And once again, you know, the religious right and the mouth breathers that follow the Republican line, Rick, they're taking this hook, line, and sinker. And they're watching, you know, they're not watching these rallies saying, you know, oh, well, you know, maybe we ought to do something right by the people who are carrying America on their backs. Oh, heck no, Rick. They're looking at it going, look at all them brown people. I sure am scared to them.
Yep, yes they are. And right now, the Republicans, to all you righties out there, they're doing good cop, bad cop on you right now. Your president is the one that got all this on TV to scare you so much. And all the ones that want to get back in and will straighten it out later after they're elected.
Oh, yeah, and I hate it when that little sucker tells me I got to be civil about something.
Yeah, all them guys are just, you know, they're just patronizing you. Because in the end, they're going to make sure the Bush gets what he wants anyway because it's better for them because the less you make, the more they do. That's the way it turns out.
It doesn't it?
You know, people in America can't seem to get their mind wrapped around the fact that rich people get richer when you do worse. But that's the only way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's why way back then, Clinton gave most favored nation status to China was to start this ball in action so that your wages would be so corrupted and downgraded.
Well, it started way before now.
Well, no, but I'm saying he gave most favored nations that. I mean, there was like 80-something percent of us. All
well, and George H.W. Bush did that, too. It was a temporary thing until it was made a permanent issue.
It was made permanent by Clinton.
But we got, hey, Rick,
80, huh?
You said to stop you. If we got to hit
it. It was 80-plus something of it. You know how I hate the Clintons. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, but I voted for Barry Goldwater before I voted for any of these people. And
but I hate the Bushes worser.
Yeah.
Later, Rick.
See you later, man.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, quick break. When we come back, hour number two, 877-443-2366 is the number, and I'm Bob.
Bad news over the great divide comes from every side. Still hope won't be denied, though it's always the
head on.
Fight childhood asthma, then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay. The phone number again, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. It amazes me what the immigration debate does to otherwise normal, decent human beings. I mean, we expect a certain response from the weirdos of the right wing and the drinker, you know, the guzzlers of the Kool-Aid. We expect them to be hateful and racist. But there are some so-called progressives out there who are weirded out by all of this, and it blows my mind. You know, when an immigrant working on a construction job gets badly hurt, you know what happens to him? He dies. No workers' comp claim, no workers' comp benefits, because his boss isn't paying workers' comp in the first place because he's illegal. We're talking about the very essence of making human beings disposable. Yeah, let that one rattle around for a little bit. We are creating a class, and even this guest worker program. You know, that's a bunch of hooey. The rules that are attached to that are just sickening. A guest worker can be sent, you know, you're fired, Jose, because you signed a union card. Absolutely. You think I'm kidding? Go read it. Disposable human beings with no rights and nothing but duties. You tell me that's not slavery. And don't tell me that giving them money means that they're not slaves, because they still are, because they have little or no choice. Let's go back to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. You?
Oh, reasonably well.
Good.
You know, I really don't know a great deal about this immigration thing yet, but from what I've heard, particularly your last caller, he seems to be headed in the right direction as to where this thing is going to end up.
Well, that's the whole history of this sordid tale, Jim. You know, it has its, like, I'm convinced it has its roots in right to work.
Yeah, and you know, basically, I was listening to some statistics today. I think 25% of the population of our prison is like Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And half the Hispanic kids, as well as half the black kids that are coming in, or the Hispanic kids, they said, when they got into high school, were dropping out of high school. They weren't finishing. And, you know, I just wonder how the social programs and our medical treatment programs, for what they are going to be able to sustain, you know, these people. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I'm just asking a question. Yeah,
Really. It's a fair question. And the fact of the matter is, our medical social safety net system, such as it is on the verge of absolute utter collapse. And it's not illegals or immigrants or what, however you care to refer to them. It's not their fault.
I know it's not their fault, but I mean, it's just going to exacerbate the problem. I mean, having these additional people. I mean, some people say these people, by working here, are going to pay somewhat like $500 billion in the Social Security Trust Fund. I don't think that's correct, but I think basically what this is, you know, and this is on both sides of the aisle, the people are trying to get low wages out of poor people, and they're trying to fool them to get votes.
Yeah, and the thing is, there are a lot of poor people in the Deep South that voted...
George Bush.
Well, George Bush, but long before that, they were, you know, they were the ones who voted into office the people who said that right to work was the American dream. You know, and
yeah,
organized labor tried to tell them, Jim. They tried to say that, and they did. Right to work is right to starve.
Oh yeah, right.
And even
right out of the door.
Yeah, and even in this state, every year we have to beat back attempts by right-wing pro-corporate zealots that want to bring right to work to West Virginia.
Yeah, no doubt. Listen, on a may I inject a note of levity here?
No, do please.
Well, you know, some of these churches are against Halloween.
Oh yeah.
Well, there was one pastor who had this novel idea, and he wanted to have a come-as-your-favorite-hymn party.
Come-as-your-favorite-hymn.
That's right.
Okay.
So they had the party, and his function was to go amongst his congregants, for lack of a better term, or congregation, and to ascertain who came as which hymn. And so he found Sister Audra, who had this thing of right light bulb tied around her waist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, could that be Let the Lower Lights Be Burning? And she said, it is.
Very good.
And then Sister, we'll call her Naughty Marietta, came in the all together. And he said, that's absolutely shocking. That must be just as I am. And then he came to Brother John, who had the thing of wheat tied around his waist. And he said, Brother John, that is truly original. Could that be Bringing in the Sheaves? He said, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. That might be it, but if that woman over there don't get on clothes, it's going to be coming through the right.
Oh, God. That's like I heard the other day that in an effort to stem the tide of bird flu, George Bush had bombed the Canary Islands.
Oh, well, there you go. And I had called tonight to talk about the European Union, and look where this ended up. But anyway, I just... You know, when I heard that, I said, this has got to be shared.
Yeah, that's precious.
But I don't understand how, you know, I heard tonight that they were able to sneak in enough radioactive material with two dirty bombs from the Canadian border and from the Mexican border.
Yeah, you mean the sting on the...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I think pretty soon... they're going to be able to get one already put together and bring it on in here.
Well, I mean, that
our borders are so porous, and, you know, we say we can't do anything about our borders. Well, you know, the Soviet Union did quite an excellent job of guarding its borders for a number of years.
Yeah, it did.
And I think that there is something we can do about these borders. I would hope so.
Well, it depends on what you're willing to relinquish and what you're willing to sacrifice to do it.
The trouble is, we've got our forces and our security people and our military off somewhere around the world where they ought not to be. And we're leaving ourselves at home completely undefended. That's what really gets my goat.
Yeah, it should. I mean, but again, America is still largely asleep. Some are beginning to wake up, Jim, but there's a lot of sleepwalking Americans who think that, well, you know, hey, look, my direct deposit went in. Everything must be okay. It's not okay.
No, it's not. And, you know, basically, eventually, there is something that's going to happen that's just going to be pretty catastrophic. And, you know, it will be as a result of our borders and our ports, being our borders being so porous and our ports being unprotected.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I was convinced that was, and still is, because they do own it and they're looking for a buyer now, supposedly, Dubai Ports World. That's part of the gig. That's, you know, that's where the next 9/11 comes from.
Right. Exactly.
You know, one of these days, Baltimore just starts glowing, or maybe it's Newark, or maybe finish the job of 9/11 and do it with the cruise ship terminal at the south end of Manhattan.
Yeah, it could be RFK Stadium, or it could be Camden Yards, or it could be Shea Stadium in New York, or, as you say, one of our naval facilities there, in which something is brought in that shouldn't come in, and all of a sudden,
boom,
there you go. It's just, it's kind of scary, but I, you know, this business of bringing in all these illegal, these guest workers, I mean, this is nothing more than an excuse just to bring in people who can be worked to death for little or nothing, and they're insourcing jobs, and they're taking them away from, you know, people who have jobs that are making $9 an hour, just like the previous call said, now, I'll pay you $3 an hour. And I think that's what he was saying,
yeah,
correct?
It was.
And, you know, this is a Trojan horse kind of thing, the way it appears to me.
Yeah, it's a sham. I mean, what guest workers? They're slaves, you know.
And
it's,
I mean, these
and they and there's 11 million people here. They're here, and they are doing the work of America.
You know, when I hear these terms that he's using, like guest workers and some of the other stuff, it's just kind of like the words the Nazis use, like Final Solution and you know what I'm saying? What do you call terms like that? Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Well,
weasel words for horrible things.
Yeah, well, they've got a history of that. You know, the crowd that brought you Clear Skies, the Clear Skies Initiative as a means to increase pollution, the crowd that brought you the Healthy Forests Initiative as an excuse to cut down trees, we should know not by now that whatever they call it, the exact opposite is what's going to obtain.
That's it.
Guest workers aren't guests, and they're not workers.
You got it.
They are bond slaves.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, that's where it's headed, and they're trying to just basically use corporate America or corporate America is using the government, and they're using each other to try to just set up some type of oligarchy for themselves, and here they're going to be at the top, and they're going to have a bunch of people at the bottom who are just virtual, you know, serfs.
Yeah. They're not virtual, but actual.
Yeah, exactly. And I really hate to see that happen. My God, I do. I mean, you know, it's just against everything I think this country stands for.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't exactly encourage an initiative, and it does not bring out the best qualities of the immigration patterns that made this country great at one time.
Well, we're...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
some of the finest people we ever had who contributed to our progress were immigrants. But they did not come in, let me put it this way. They came into a system in which they were able at least to achieve some type of social mobility. But this type of system, I don't see any type of social mobility at all. Do you?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, sure there is. It depends on how you define it.
Upward or downward?
Upward. Upward. It can happen upward. I mean, my God, look at where some of the Vietnamese boat people. You know, they're not. My God, Jim, that group of people has busted its ass to rise up. But the thing is, with the way we treat the immigrants from south of the border now, there's no hope or there's no design for there to be upward mobility. It is literally what did they call the slave class in ancient Sparta? Not hoplites; those were the warriors.
I'm not sure what they call them, but I mean, you know, basically.
But they went out and slaughtered them periodically because they'd want to be treated like, you know, the rest of the people.
Yeah.
This is a design, and this is something that goes back to the Reagan administration. There was a design for an underclass. And they don't want, I mean, you know, you and I think that the American dream is that, you know, each generation gets it a little bit better than the generation before and that you sort of push up the generational ladder. But that's not the design with guest workers. You know, guest workers is a sham.
Well, that's what I'm saying. These people, that's what I meant by upward mobility.
Yeah.
With this guest workers program, there is no ladder of upward mobility attached to it,
you know, and you get to stay here for 5 years, and then you have to go home.
Exactly.
You know, there's and all you're doing is
and they'll rotate another group after another five.
Right. It's a rotating slave class. If you want to see the abject hypocrisy of this whole thing, Jim, the best way to do it is to look at the way we treat people from Mexico and Central America versus the way we treat people from Cuba. Now, because there's a huge, actively voting block of human beings in Florida that vote, that go to the polls in droves, we kowtow to them, especially Republicans, so that
they need those 18 electoral votes.
Well, right, and you've got that thing. What's it called? The dry foot policy.
Yep.
If a Cuban can get to the United States and get one foot dry on American land, they're here. But if a Mexican walks across 300 miles of freaking desert and gets to Arizona, there's a gang of Republicans that wants to call them felons. I mean,
well,
does that just blow your mind?
Yeah, there's no equity in that system at all whatsoever. And it's just really a bad situation. And it's not going to get any better as long as the current administration has the reins of power.
And it's not going to get any better as long as we permit the debate to be carried out on their terms.
Well, now this Sensenbrenner thing.
Yeah.
Now, what is I want to get off here. What is he proposing here?
I don't have the complete legislation in front of me, but there is all manner of evil in it. And supposedly the Senate took the teeth out of it today.
It did.
Yeah, because he was proposing to make every immigrant in this country who is here so-called illegally, he wanted to make him a felon. He wanted to put 11 million people in prison. I mean, it just makes your eyes roll back in your head to think about it. And he wanted to make a priest, you know, if a priest followed the precepts of Christ Jesus and gave, you know, if you, you know, when I was hungry and ye fed me, and when I was naked and ye clothed me, and when I was, you know, all of that. If a priest or a church organization reached out to somebody that turned out to be an illegal, they were going to be criminals too.
Well, now, the Catholic Church is supporting this immigration drive, isn't it?
The guest worker thing, because they see it as some level of amelioration. But you know, as long as you've got the Sensenbrenners and the Tom Tancredos out there, you know, they've got a nice suit on, but you know what? The sheet and the pillowcase fall over it just real easy. The debate is deliberately polarized. This is pure fear mongering, Jim. This is the gay marriage for 2006.
Okay, then I thank you. Okay, and I thank you for your time.
Always
take care.
Always a pleasure, Jim. You have
all
yourself
right.
A wonderful evening. All right.
And the same to you, sir.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye now. You know, we've got these guys that want to build a wall. They want to build a wall. from the Pacific Ocean at the California-Mexican border all the way to the Gulf of Mexico at the Texas-Mexico border. They want to build a wall. You know, you can get on Google Earth. At one point in time, the Great Wall of China was the only man-made thing that you could see from space. May still be. And whatever dynasty it was that built that wall was just sure that that was going to keep the bad guys out. Of course, it didn't. It's an amazing feat. It's an amazing the construction accomplishment. But what they did, the people on the outside of the wall that wanted onto the inside of the wall, what they did, they bribed the gatekeepers. I forget who it was in the chat room a little bit ago said 10-foot wall, 12-foot ladder. I'm constantly. Every cotton-picking time I think that these people can't get any more gullible, any more stupid, they take it. I mean, I think they're doing the Kool-Aid intravenously now. A wall. There's never been a wall built that couldn't be tunneled under or climbed over. But, of course, these Republicans like Tancredo and Sensenbrenner, they want people with really big machine guns along those walls to just gun down people as they come. That is your Republican Party in America today. And this whole cotton-picking thing is designed to scare people out of their wits. I remain convinced that that's why it got television coverage over the weekend. Flipped over to CNN a little bit this afternoon, and there was some breathless news babe. Oh, that's sexist. I apologize.
Oh, you thought she was cute.
No, she is. But she was all Oh, look, there's another march. There's another Hispanic march taking place in Los Angeles. We have helicopter footage. And it's just people. It's just a mass of people walking along the sidewalk. Jesus, look at the Mexicans are coming after us. They're going to get, oh, my God. This is a ginned-up load of crap, and I just hope that we recognize it for what it is. It just wears me out. And, you know, because labor issues matter to me, I think about the guys who get hurt. Cesar Chavez. I think today is Cesar Chavez Day in California, am I correct? And he fought all his life to protect the people who picked the grapes and the celery and the lettuce and the tomatoes and whatnot from the poisons that were literally sprayed on them while they worked. It's a manufactured, it's ginned up, it's fake, phony, it's wrestling. And it's made for the purpose of scaring otherwise not too sharp white people in key states into voting Republican because they're going to protect us from the Mexicans. And it's just embarrassing. Now, I like my movies. There's an excellent one out there, a couple of years old. I think I've mentioned it before on the show. But it addresses some of this in a very palatable, entertaining way. John Sayles doesn't make bad movies. Silver City is the name of the film, and I think you'd enjoy it. But it lays out for people who might not otherwise understand it terms like coyote. The people who traffic in human flesh and bring workers into the United States. And, of course, they charge them money to get here, and then they take a part of their earnings once they get here. And these are guys who sleep on the ground at night. These are human beings who go to sleep in sheds and get up and do it again, amen, the next day. They don't eat worth a damn. And their families are not with them, hundreds if not thousands of miles away. And we've got some notion in this country that they're a threat to our national security? And George Bush, there's some jobs Americans won't do. It's just embarrassing that we're even allowing the right wing to talk about this this matter in the way they are. And frankly, Democrats have been suckered into having the debate that the way the Republicans want to have it, too. This is not a Mexican or Honduran or Guatemalan or Salvadoran debate. This is a debate about working people and whether or not working people in the United States of America have any right to any dignity whatsoever, whether their name is Smith or Jones or Schmidt or Lopez. And this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Bob Kincaid.
Oh! Hey, listen, tell me something, John. Do you guys eat a lot of mangoes down there?
Not enough to base a foreign policy on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. We don't eat that many of them here either.
The United States is India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. And oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
That's right. It's March Mango Madness. Nukes for mangoes, mangoes for nukes. Join Bruce and I, John Fox, this weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. Catch us at fourthestateradio.com or headonradionetwork.com.
Oh, yes, I finally found a reason. I don't need an excuse. I've got this time on my hands.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Just as in Vietnam, the chicken hawks on the right, who never met a war they didn't want other people to fight, are complaining that the media isn't reporting any of the good news that's going on in Iraq, in particular all the wonderful new schools that are supposedly being built. But maybe sending reporters to the schools isn't such a good idea. According to an article in the Washington Post, which, to the best of my knowledge, was not plagiarized, armed insurgents burst into a high school classroom, accused the teacher of being an agent for the CIA and Israeli intelligence, and beheaded him. Most students ran from the class, but some apparently stayed to watch. Many stopped coming to school after that. Gee, you think? And all this while Senators John McCain and Russ Feingold were touring Iraq, or at least those parts of it where you still have a 50-50 chance of walking around without being blown to bits, in what in all likelihood is a futile attempt to get the Iraqis to get their act together as far as government is concerned. Tristero, writing on Digby's blog, had an even better suggestion. Let's get Ben Domenech a camcorder and a plane ticket to Iraq and let him report on all the school openings and other good news going on over there. Barring that, maybe Bush can just give another speech to the press to convince them how wonderful things are. Or maybe he can do like the insurgents did and behead a reporter in front of the rest of them. That should keep a lid on things for a while. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
because liberals built America. Head On with Bob Kincaid. We all need a big reduction and a bunch of tears. All the people that you meet in your image.
I don't know where the time goes. Halfway done with this Monday night. Oh, sweet relief edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Love my Mondays. And an email from our buddy Kelly. Did you hear about the Republican legislator in Georgia who tied the immigration problem? And Kelly notes, sounds suspiciously like the old Negro problem, by the way, to the fact that abortion is legal. That's one of those to make your eyes cross, but they do this kind of crap all the time. Her comment was something to the effect that we have so many immigrant workers because the USA has aborted so many fetuses over the years, we could have used those babies to do the jobs the immigrants are doing.
What?
I knew Agnes couldn't stay silent all the way through that one. In other words, how dare poor people deny the wealthy classes cheap labor? Just reprehensible. Sickening. Yes, it is. And, of course, also coming out of Georgia, a proposal in a new anti-white people bill that says all wire transfers of money out of the country will be subjected to a 5% tax. What?
Okay.
The Republican... I couldn't be a Republican because I can't take that much LSD. You know, all taxes are evil. We hate taxes. Taxes must be cut. Gotta have a tax cut. And then the next thing you know, you got some lily white, pure
idiot.
Cracker idiot in Georgia introducing legislation to tax wire transfers of money to starving people. too much more of that compassionate conservative conservatism. There just won't be much left to us, will there? No, there won't. Thanks, Kelly. And to the phones, Andrew is with us from New York. Hey, Andrew, you're Head On.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm trying to keep it together, man.
Yeah, and as you were saying, they want to put a 5% tax on that. Last I heard, it was like $1 billion that was, you know, wire transferred to Mexico and other places in South America and Central America.
I heard some number put forward that it's a tenth of the Mexican economy. I don't know.
Yeah. So that would be about $50 million they would be taxing them. So since they're already paying them under the table, I guess, you know, they got to tax them somehow. So.
Well, yeah, and it would make up for the money that George Bush has stolen that otherwise would have gone to the state of Georgia.
Exactly. Hey, go towards his tax cuts.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, why not put a little bit more of a load on the back of some mm-hmm. really poor, miserable people?
Hey, well, apparently it's the, well, I don't want to say it's the American way, but it's the Bush way.
Nah, it's the American way, Andrew.
Yeah.
It's okay. It is.
And I was talking to Agnes, and I said, well, I was saying there might be an even more underlying issue with, you know, making these people, trying to call them illegal immigrants and sending them back, because a lot of these people are, you know, being older. They were never on the tax rolls, so they never paid in Social Security or anything like that. They don't have any insurance. So if they start getting sick, they're going to put a more bigger burden on, you know, state health care, Medicaid, and what have you.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. The old, the infirm, the tired, the weak, the weary, the wounded. We want to get rid, you know, the right wing wants to get rid of them, but they sure, no. That's where the con comes in, Andrew. They don't want to get rid of the people who are mowing their lawns. They don't want to get rid of the people who congregate at Home Depot every morning and work for, you know, $2 or $3 an hour.
Mm-mm. They just want to use their kids now.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, send Granny and Grandpa home to die.
Yes. Because we didn't, you know, then, you know, they're done.
It's another one of those moments, Andrew, where I just sort of look up and go, you know, I'm going to wake up. This is all just a terrible, terrible nightmare, and I'm going to wake up, and this is not going to be going on, and George Bush was never president, and, you know, it's just a scene from Dallas, and I'm going to step out of the shower, and it's all going to be fine.
Exactly. This has been one long, five-year-long nightmare.
Yeah.
You ask me, every morning I get up, I say the same thing. I'm like, oh, God, it's just like a haze over you every day.
Yeah.
It's a five-year haze, and you're like, this is not happening. But then again, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I keep coming back to the roles of the military. We hate these people so much, but by God, we're more than happy for them to fight and die.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
But there's nothing new in that. I mean, the Confederate Army,
mm-hmm.
you know, there were slaves who fought in the Confederate Army.
Yeah.
And there were poor old white people that probably had it worse than some folks living on the plantation.
Exactly.
That fought in that army.
And that always does the fighting.
Yeah.
Poor guys always do the fighting. That's just the way it is.
And do the losing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Their lives, their homes, everything. You know, you won't see one of those generals' homes probably getting fragged.
Oh, no. I mean, going back to the Civil War, most of the Confederate generals went on to very prosperous later years in Confederate officers. You know, the people who just carried the muskets and wore the butternut and wrapped their feet in rags, so much.
Exactly. But I don't know. It's just like the whole immigration issue and what Tancredo said was just like, oh. That was, kind of off the meter for me.
Yeah, well, I've come to expect that from him.
I mean, just a slime. Like, he's like, I guess he's a Native American.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, from the Sicilian tribe.
Oh,
the
God.
Sicilian Sioux.
These people never cease to amaze, but, well, I just wanted to chime in on that one.
Well, Andrew, I appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you.
All righty.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And see, it ties into this idea of, and we're it's not like they haven't preached it to us, personal responsibility. Where, and we've got listeners in Colorado, where is Tom Tancredo's district? Someone kindly, I'd like, it's my very healthy fantasy life. I have this fantasy where I get to go to Tom Tancredo's district and just start knocking on doors and asking people, what the hell are you thinking? Do you not know what a mockery he's making of you? Do you not know what idiots he is making you people out to be for putting him in office? Jesus criminy. And the same thing. Never been to Wisconsin. Really want to go to Wisconsin someday. And I want to go to James Sensenbrenner's district. And I want to knock on doors in Wisconsin. What the hell are you thinking? Are you crazy? And then there's the trip to Sugar Land, Texas. Oh, that's my Disneyland. Because I want to knock on every door in Sugar Land, Texas. Do you vote for Tom DeLay? Well, hallelujah and praise Jesus. I just wanted to see what kind of thing votes for Tom DeLay. I can go home happy now because I have seen a monster. But, but the list goes on and on and on. Some little right-wing do Jesus type was on Bill Maher Friday night. I mean, I don't get these people. I don't understand them. God knows, I'm the soul of kindness and courtesy. And part of me wants to reach out to them and put my arm around them and say, brother, do you realize that you're being used? Do you realize how desperately you are being played? Do you understand that you're getting punked every day of your life because of the fools that you vote for? And I got my arm around him, and he looks at me and says, Brother Bob, I do, and I repent. And I go, yeah, go and sin no more. But I know just as sure as that fantasy was ever, that I don't have two heads, Agnes. Quit looking at me like that. But just as sure as I did that, they'd look at me, well, Tom Tancredo is Jesus's man. And I'd have to, I got the right arm around the shoulder, and I got to take the left fist and ball it up and put it in his face, and that's the end of it. You fool!
I'll go to the phone. Just go to the phone.
Well, no. But it's all over America. And it's part of the conversation we are having, we're trying to have. Why do Americans do these things? Why did the people who scrape and scrabble and struggle for a living in places like North Carolina and South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, and Oklahoma, why do they vote for people who mean them no damn good? Why do they put people in office like Senator Jeff Sessions? Why do they do that? Now, let's go to the phones. Chris is with us from Florence, Alabama. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. there's two interesting things on the U.S. Immigration's website.
Okay.
Number one, if you are a member of the U.S. Armed Forces and want to become an American citizen.
Boy, doesn't that part just curl your hair? I don't even know what the dependent clause behind that is, but wow.
You're a member of the U.S. Armed Forces and you're not a citizen?
Absolutely. Did you not know that's the one place where illegal aliens are just more than welcome?
They got this whole little thing of character and all the stuff that you can you have to meet. God help me. The other thing, the really interesting thing, is you know there were protests in Boston also today.
Yes.
But if you wanted to apply for citizenship, you had to wait.
Huh?
Because the office in Boston was closed to be painted today.
God is a god of irony, isn't he?
You had to wait. You have to wait a few days for the paint to dry to become a citizen.
Oh, there's a couple of jokes in there that I'm not even going to touch.
I might have some tomorrow. Lou Dobbs was condemning protesters for protesting on Cesar Chavez today. On Cesar Chavez Day today.
And the reason for that is?
That he didn't believe in violence and protesting and stuff like that. These are people just walking.
Daggum, Chris. Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs is so damn pale white he glows in the dark. He doesn't cook his own meals. He doesn't drive his own car to work. I doubt if he flushes his own toilet.
My only hope is that Lou Dobbs and Christopher Hitchens and several of them could stagger drunkenly out in front of the crowd as they slowly walk by and kind of, you know, just pounding them into the pavement.
Yeah, we don't believe in protesting.
Okay, it is released on Planet Out Network. It's on the wires about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
The parents of former Iraqi hostages, you know, the Christians that were the hostages that got released.
Right.
They hid the fact that their son was gay.
And?
But now that he's out, he came back and he was telling the press that he had to spend some time with his partner. They boasted of his belief, but they hid the fact that he was gay until he was released because they were scared what the Iraqis might do to him.
Well, you know, when it comes, fundamentalists. You know what
well,
I mean,
what's
Chris?
What's the difference there and here?
Well, here he's not in anybody's custody who can kill him for how he has sex. He's got to wait for a random act of violence.
You want a bat?
Well, yeah.
You know, if he's in a bathroom with several cops in New York and they have nightsticks, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Amazing. Just
I've already.
It's another one of those "where the hell do I live" moments.
I've already ran rabbits today. I had to put mute on CNN because I didn't want it to disturb me while you know it must.
Yeah, that's the one where your darling little daughter goes into the next room, going, "Mom, Daddy's screaming at the TV again."
No, she was at school. I woke up with a headache today, and it has gotten worse. it has gotten worse as the day has gone.
Well, you know, this is one of
turned on CNN today.
Yeah, this is one of those. Thank God it's not Alabama, and thank God it's not West Virginia. Our buddy Kelly followed up with the data on this creepy Republican in Georgia, 50th District Senator Nancy Schaefer. That's her name, Nancy Schaefer. You just know she's another one of those glow-in-the-dark white people.
Oh, yeah.
She said we need to make Georgia a destination, and then commenting on illegal immigration, she said 50 million abortions have been performed in this country, causing a shortage of cheap American labor. Quote, we could have used those people.
Yeah, I heard that.
We could have used those people. You know, used. And, you know, that every now and then there are these glaring little unintentional moments of absolute and utter truth that comes out of the Republican Party. We could have used those people.
Well, Bob, I just won't waste my beautiful mind on thinking about stuff like that.
Oh! Don't!
Can you imagine what her beautiful mind thinks about today? Oh, my goodness.
Well, you got to remember, I mean, when you're talking about that, and we're talking with the, for those of you who may not catch the reference, although I'm sure most of you did. We're talking about that hateful old beast, Barbara Bush.
Yeah.
My beautiful mind.
Yeah, the money laundress. She's a money launderer now, Chris.
Oh, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. My two brother-in-laws are just back from New Orleans this weekend, and we got to spend some time with them, and all the stories they do tell.
Oh, I can well imagine. You know, and what was it, the 1988 presidential convention, when Barbara looked over at Columba Bush, Jeb's daughter, and she was pointing out all her grandchildren, and she said, and here's Jenna and Barbara is my namesake, and over there, there's Jebby, my son, and his wife, Columba, and their children, I called, you know, and it was national TV. I don't know how in God's name do these people not get laughed out of every room they go into, and because she said it, and those Jeb and Columba's children, I like to call them the little brown ones.
Here's one of my sons in the Secretary of Defense. We just call him Neil and Bob.
Oh, we're going to have to start a fundraiser for that snare drum and hi-hat. We've got to be able to do the rim shots.
Why not? I don't see why not. No, this... when you were mentioning a movie earlier, you started talking about Johnson, I thought you were going to bring up the movie Day Without a Mexican.
No. Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
That's another one. What would this country do? But, you know, I've said it many, many times. I've been to Mexico. I've seen the conditions over there. And anybody that says, oh, they don't need to be coming over here, tell you what, go over there. Go over there and live for a week.
Well, yeah.
On what they live on. Just go ahead and try it.
Well, see, you can always apply something like that. You know, the big corporate polluters who say, well, you know, strontium 90 in the water doesn't do you any real harm. Here's a glass, drink up.
The same thing
applies with so-called illegal immigration. These guys don't want, my God, can you imagine, there are contractors in the Southwest and the South and all over this country by now who are absolutely having hissies at the idea that they might have to pay, so-called legal Americans $20 or $30 an hour to build a Walmart instead of five or six.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Forget it.
I know.
But hang in there, Bob. I want to get out of here if you can get your money.
Right, yeah, no trouble. No trouble.
But Agnes, hang in there, Bob.
All right. She will. Take care, Chris.
All right.
Our best to all of y'all. Bye now. Walmart. But that's the way Walmart operates. They get a set of walls around the thing, and then they bring in the illegals to do all the inside work, and they literally lock them in so that no one can see that your low prices every day are brought to you by low wages every day. But it's not just Walmart. It's all over the country. And don't think for an instant that I bear a grudge against somebody for working for a living. Because work is noble. Work is decent. Work is good. Honorable. It fairly defines a significant portion of the population of planet Earth. It defines our very being. And if you just visualize a little bit and try to imagine yourself into the shoes of a guy who is 1,000 miles from the people he loves and who love him back, and you see him heating a can of pork and beans over a flame, and that's dinner, and going to sleep in a shed somewhere, and that's bed, and getting up and doing it again the next day, and today is just like yesterday, and today is just like tomorrow will be, and you beg for work, And yeah, you send it home, because what would you do? This so-called Christian nation that somehow can't seem to go 15 freaking minutes without completely forgetting the tenets of the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you've got a nation that actually believes that, Tom Tancredo and James Sensenbrenner don't have a prayer, because you recognize them for the heathen bastards that they are. A nation that understands do unto others as you would have them do unto you doesn't permit people to work for substandard wages. A nation that understands do unto others as you would have them do unto you doesn't let that man go to sleep 1,000 miles from love, from care, from hope, from passion, from warmth, from decency. It lets him have the love of his life by his side. But of course, there's another side of the debate that says, well, you know, he's just exploiting the American system. He's willing to work and live that way because someday he hopes to go home and the power of the American dollar will make him ever so much more wealthy. He's probably got a farm in blah, blah, blah province. He's got a farm in Oaxaca. Maybe some do. Maybe a little bit of that is true. But is that still a valid reason for hating him? Because this is a debate that is motivated by hate. And I saw it shortly before the show came on the air. I saw Patrick Leahy of Vermont talking about this. And, well, you know, we all want the best for our country. And until we get it across to some of these middle-of-the-road Democrats that they're fooling themselves when they say silly crap like that. The Republican Party doesn't, you know, we're done. Unless we can get that across and make the Democratic Party understand that, no, the Republican Party doesn't mean well for America. The Republican Party doesn't mean good for America. The Republican Party doesn't even like America. That's why it is trying everything in its power to destroy America as it was constituted. Constituted, constitution. I mean, I had that crap handed to me at the start of the war and the start of the Bush presidency. Well, you're just mad because you hate America. And that was a crock. I'm doing this because I love America. But the other side? How can you love America when you're trying to bankrupt it? How can you love America when you're trying to make 11 million human beings who have done no crime into criminals? What's the line from the old Jimmy Buffett song? It plumb evaded me? Yeah, I consider myself evaded on this. I don't get it. And I'm sitting here looking at the map of the United States. And I see my beloved South. And I know that there are people all over the Deep South who have slowly but surely sort of closeted away their race hate for, you know, African American people. And they've transferred it to people maybe a little slightly less brown. Because they sound funny and they won't speak English. Yeah, like I said, neither do they. And this fat, crazy woman in Georgia, Nancy Schaefer. I'd like to meet her someday. I mean, because it would be everything in my power not to just stand there and point and go, children, look, a freak. We could have used those people. That's where they are. It's where they live. We could have used those people. Want to knock on doors in Nancy Schaefer's district, too. Did you vote for Nancy? Oh, kids, come here. Look, monster. All these years I've spent telling my children there were no such things as monsters, and by God, there are, because there are people who vote for Tom DeLay and James Sensenbrenner and Tom Tancredo and Nancy Schaefer.
And they're under their bed.
And they're not under the bed yet, but, you know, they're Republicans, and they're all fascinated and obsessed and weirded out over sex, and they'd like to get under the bed. Woo-hoo!
And we have something coming
all right, then. Well, that's the end of hour number two. If you want to get in on the conversation, by God, I welcome you to. 877-443-2366. 877, the number four, head on. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Bruce Birch, and if you missed my show Sunday night, here's what I got up to.
A group of U.S. businessmen in the UAE said they will invite the Oprah Winfrey Show and other talk shows to the Gulf to change American public opinion, which has helped block Dubai's takeover of six U.S. ports. He's saying that they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States and explain why the UAE is important. If you want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, they need to send... something, not Oprah. I mean, how many average guys do you know watch Oprah? I don't. If they want to reach out to the average guy in the United States, as much as I hate to say it, they need to send Jerry Springer and the Jerry Springer Show over there with the bald guy. You know, maybe they can do a UAE version of My Grandmother Is Also My Lover or something like that. Oh, just
join me, Bruce Birch, for All Things Reconsidered every Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, allthingsreconsidered.org.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
WithEstateRadio.com.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Lots of people talk about the ways that schools should inspire students to be creative. I'm Mary Chapin Carpenter. Business and education leaders say that young workers too often lack the creativity needed to remain flexible and excel on the job. Well, helping young minds tap their creativity is just as important as mastering math and English skills. When you look at today's educational landscape, one of the best places that creativity is actively encouraged is in music class. Music classrooms today are like deep wells of creative energy just waiting to be explored by young minds. Don't let it go to waste.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. March is Music in Our Schools Month. Music, part of a sound education.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay. 3 minutes and change past the hour. I'd say you got about, 48 minutes to get your licks in if you want to. I'm Bob. This is Head On. You heard the phone number. Email works easily as well. Bob at headonradio.com. And also, if you feel so inclined, and I hope you do, jump into the real-time experience that is the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. You will enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. Headonradionetwork.com. Register. It's easy. And the next thing you know, you'll be chatting along with the whole gang that's there in the room. Let's go to the phones right now. CB is with us from Northern California. Hey, CB, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm okay, but I want to warn everybody against that chat room, man. Makes you dizzy.
Makes you dizzy?
It makes you dizzy. You can't walk away from the stupid thing because you're bobbing and weaving. But that's just my opinion.
That's okay.
And I have another opinion or befuddlement or something here.
No.
I can't take it, Bob.
What have I done now?
It's like they keep kicking sand in our face.
Yeah.
You know, where they just keep us so busy with all this heinous stuff that we can't keep our eye on the ball.
I know.
I'm trying to get over this. I realize it's unreasonable and all the rest of it. I'm trying to get over being pissed off at the big demonstrations, the huge crowds of demonstrators the past couple days.
Now, you're mad at the demonstrators?
Yes, I'm mad at them because they're demonstrating about being made into criminals when they should be demonstrating to get rid of the president.
Well, see, that's what I tried to ever so gently suggest.
Well, I don't
Maybe I was
feel
too gentle.
Gentle about it because We're war criminals. We're over there killing hundreds of thousands of people, torturing people. The president has come out and said they're staying over there as long as I'm president. He's come out and said I'm not going to obey your damn laws. You know, he's shredded the Constitution. And, you know, that those two items, the shredding of the Constitution and the over there killing people as war criminals, have got to be priority number one for all Americans.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And want to be American.
And look at the, you know, and this was part and parcel of what I published. Look at how we missed the boat on it, CB. I mean, where were the people who could have made that, who could have connected those dots, are you telling me they're not interested? They don't understand. They haven't been informed. You know, which one is it?
I'm sorry, but I think it's they're just so taken up with feeding themselves and their families.
Well, CB, under the present circumstances, given the legislation that was proposed and passed in the House, I think what they're taken up with is not being hauled away in the middle of the night and put in a concentration camp that's been built by Halliburton.
Well, that's the problem for all of us. It's not really just the problem for them.
Yeah, right? But it's a little closer to home for them.
Yeah, I get it, and I'm telling you, I realize there's a measure of unreasonableness about my anger here, because part of it is I'm transferring my anger at the rest of us complacent Americans for not being out in those numbers as well. But, you know, I've just had it. I can't believe it. We keep getting sidetracked from the dirt truth. This is the most heinous thing in the history of this country. And for all those people who still, you know, believe the company line about 9/11, I just have to say, those buildings came down at virtually free fall speed. The only thing that can cause that is a controlled demolition. That's it. Those are the laws of physics, indisputable.
Well, the thing I don't think you. I mean, if you're wanting to motivate those 500,000 people in L.A. and the 50,000 in Denver and the thousands upon thousands in North Carolina and the Boston and you know all over the country, that's not where you start. I mean, but that's me. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I wish at some point I studied a bunch of languages. I wish I had gone somewhere and immersed myself, and I wish I was completely fluent in Spanish because I would like to explain the Halliburton contract to build emergency. Remember how they were characterized? They
Somebody
are
explained to them what that legislation meant in a New York minute.
Well, yeah.
Where was that person or persons who got that message out for this?
Well, they don't. CB, that's the thing. I mean, again, it's a matter of them. It's a matter of Republicans playing chess and being eight moves out, and us, you know, setting up the checkerboard. Dadgummit, on our side of the fight. You know, you're right. You're right about the fact that, you know, we keep taking our eye off the ball. The root of, you know, Republicanism is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
And in this particular instance, there are people who think, well, you know, that's not our issue. Our issue is not being put in concentration camps. And, you know, I can see how that would have some real immediacy.
Well,
not going to a concentration camp.
Yeah, except for I really don't think that it's so far off for the rest of us either. You know, maybe the brown people will go in first. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, it could be anybody who, you know, gets obstreperous and insists that they're Americans with rights could get hauled off. Maybe they're already being hauled off. How would we know?
We don't. You know, isn't it interesting that with the Halliburton contract to build the emergency alien detention centers, and I don't think we're talking about people from planet Zarvon.
That's my home planet.
Yeah, yours too?
Yeah. We found each other, Bob.
Yeah,
I'm from
continent Norb.
I'm from Erg.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, we don't talk.
Oh, yeah.
But now, what I'm getting at here is. How interesting is it that we only heard about these emergency alien detention centers after the debacle of Katrina?
Yeah.
You know, these we brought people. We had Katrina detainees come up to Camp Hoosis in Preston County, West Virginia, and we housed them in a military barracks up there.
Katrina detainees. What a term.
You know, and you got a guy who that one guy that George Bush spoke to. I want that audio so bad, where George is talking. He said, "Yeah," and this black fella came up and he said, "I foraged to survive for a couple of weeks, and then I finally got some relief and I got on a plane, and the next thing I knew, I was in Utah." And I looked at him and I said, "Were you the only black man there?" These are people to whom tragedy is just another damn day of the week.
Well,
I mean, for God's sakes, Barbara Bush laundered money to her son's business. You know, I heard somebody on either Fourth Estate or All Things ask Bruce and John, well, why the hell couldn't she just write him a check? And then the reason is, if she just gave a check to Neil, it wouldn't be tax-free.
Right.
So she laundered money through the Bush-Clinton-Katrina Fund. Now, how does this all tie in with the demonstration in L.A.? Well, it ties in very clearly, because the people demonstrating in L.A., CB, don't have a vote. They can barely send their children to school. They are resented they're resented for the jobs they take and do. They are resented for the space. They are resented for the damned air they breathe.
And that is not going to get handled in time.
Right, but that's their only, that is their world. You know, I hate talking about any member of the human race as they.
Right. Right, me too.
When I was a child growing up, I was not allowed to refer to my mother as she.
No.
You weren't?
No. My mother was mother. To refer to one's mother as an impersonal pronoun was just about the same as calling her a name.
Wow, that's pretty sticky for a kid.
And we've passed it on. Your mother is not a she. Your mother is the person who gave life to you. Refer to her as mother, mama, anything. But anyway, I'm getting off in far afield.
Yeah.
If we're gonna motivate those 500,000 people, then we have got to be able to communicate whatever it is we want to motivate with.
Well, it seems to me that if they're being motivated by this bill, they ought to be able to take the leap that this bill or whatever incarnation it ends up in is going to go all the way away if we get rid of these criminals. And there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it anymore. And it's a cross between people being afraid of him nuking someplace next and people that are just hoping against hope that the regular American cycle of elections will get rid of him and we can, you know, muddle through after that.
But well, see, no. CB, there's a con going on because he's proposing the so-called good side of the debate. He's wearing the white hat right now.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's got him a guest worker program.
Yeah, I know. But my point here is all of this is beside the point for every human being on the planet. And it wouldn't be on the planet if we weren't the United States. But we are the United States. We've got the most military might of anybody yet. And so we affect everybody on the planet. And especially with this administration, because we can't keep our fingers out of everybody else's business.
We've got multiple dysfunctions here.
It has to be stopped. You have to nip it in the bud. That is flowering and fruiting already, but you got to chop that tree down, whatever metaphor you want to use, and then we go back to worrying about racism and inequality and workers' rights and all the rest of it. You know, I mean, I am so pro-union, so pro-worker for my entire life. I've been one of those kind of people who, you know, the minute the immigration thing comes up, I invoke the Statue of Liberty.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled
exactly.
masses yearning to breathe free.
Exactly. But I don't want to be thinking about that. I don't want it to be an issue. It's an issue, but it can't be one. It just can't. We have to stop it where it's the genesis of it. And, you know, that includes getting rid of all those pinheaded senators. But most especially the current administration. And I really think that, the reason I keep mentioning the 9/11 thing is that will motivate, a bunch of Americans, outraged Americans, when they realize, yes.
Well, I think 9/11 is slowly but surely overtaking the grassy knoll because the responses you saw to that informal CNN poll, 83% agree with Charlie Sheen.
Yep.
that we're not being told the whole truth about 9/11.
Yep.
And yet, I was talking with our good friend Brad Friedman from BradBlog today, and he was telling me about hearing Bill Press, an ostensible liberal, just castigate and excoriate Charlie Sheen for daring to say that.
Well, let me at him.
I understand.
I mean, I'm sure Charlie can handle him, but, you know, let me at him, too. It's just stupid.
I understand.
Just because we don't want to believe that anybody could do that, any American could do that, that's the only thing that keeps people from, you know, relying on the laws of physics to do their thinking for them.
Well, I tell you what, I hope that someone in the progressive side of things will reach out to these 500,000 human beings, because their fight isn't with the rest of America. Their fight is with the Republican Party. And the sooner that they understand it, the far better off they are. CB, we're going to run along. I got another call waiting, but thanks so much. And just,
I can't have a drink either.
Well,
taking the damn pill.
I understand. But keep, you know, you're keeping your eye on the ball, and that's important. Help others.
All right. So everybody listen to me, please. Nighty night.
Bye now.
Bye.
Later. And Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good, you?
I'm doing real good. CB, if you're still listening, stop taking the pills. Have a drink. It'll do you good. Listen, man, what's his plan? That if we'd have outlawed abortion, we could have raised our own race of slaves?
That's about where, yeah.
Okay, I mean,
Nancy Schaefer, Georgia's 50th district. She's a state legislator, not a national one, but, yeah, we could have used those people.
Yeah. That, you know, good idea. Then they wouldn't have been brown. I mean, we'd have white ones and black ones. It would have been hard to tell the slaves from, you know.
Oh, you mean like usual?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not a bunch of freaks. But,
yeah, I mean, there's not. I can't get to where their minds are.
No, I can't either. I can't either.
And I've tried.
I'd rather not.
Yeah.
Listen, remember I told you I was going to have a computer expert come over this weekend?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, he showed up. I'll tell you.
No buffering issues?
Well, that's you know, I've lost it like three or four times, but when I click back, it comes back instantly. So. Probably a little refining or something.
Yeah, maybe some tweaking.
Yeah, I don't know what. Yeah, you know. But I mean, I found out this guy's secret, man.
What's that?
He got a direct line to Computo. You know who that is?
Who's that?
You know Greek mythology, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the computer god.
That's right.
Computo. A lot of people don't know that. They didn't get deep enough into it, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the guy, I mean, he had a direct line to him. He'd call him up on the phone and Computo would tell him what to do. I mean, Computo even told him, so look, I'm going to a fish fry. Here's my cell phone number. You know, it was amazing.
You know, I'll tell you, there are people in America who still work that way.
Yes, there are. And, believe me, I have great admiration and thanks a lot to Computo. You know, he's my new favorite god, believe me.
You worship at the shrine daily.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, let me ask you, Wayne. I mean, so much. I keep trying to explain, and God, if I'm going to ask somebody, it ought to be you. I keep trying to explain that we've got to reframe this issue with the so-called illegal aliens. It's a labor issue, isn't it? I mean, if anybody knows, you know.
It is, and you know, I've told you before how I feel about that. And if you know, people want to come to this country. And people want to work with us, and people want to join our communities and help us raise a standard of living for all working people. And they're more than welcome to join our unions now. You know, a lot of people, you know, tell me that that's one of my requirements. But, you know, I do believe in the National Labor Relations Act, which says you have a right to join form or whatever. You also have a right not to.
Yeah, and doesn't the UN Convention on Human Rights say that one of the most basic human rights is the freedom of assembly?
Yes.
Is there any more profound manifestation of that freedom of assembly than the right to join a union?
Not that I know of. You know, the World Bank came out in support of unions. No, you know, I mean, said that unions were a good thing.
When was this?
Oh, a couple years ago.
Oh, okay, so it's pre-Paul Wolfowitz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I mean,
I shouldn't have said that. He'll find that and strike that.
Yeah, I mean, don't mess with.
He'll be working on that now.
Don't mess with my world paradigm, man.
I mean, you know, because it was, well, everybody in the movement was amazed that they did that. But they did some, I forget the name of the study, but it was a big study, and the thing was that unions were a good thing, you know. Yeah, I forgot, oh, God. I forgot all about his new position.
Yeah, don't smarten up the chump, you know.
Yeah, I know. See, Bob, now you depressed me.
Well, I'm sorry.
He did go there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Did he ever fix that, you know, does he still comb his hair by sticking his comb in his mouth?
Oh, now see, that's not, now see,
well,
okay.
You're the one that brought it up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, fair's fair. but, you know, seriously. What would happen if organized labor decided to build an army of Spanish-speaking organizers?
Listen, we're doing that.
Are you really?
Oh, yes, we are doing that. You know, the Carpenters Union I know for sure is, and I know other unions are too. You know, the International puts out a quarterly magazine. Half of it is, well, it's the same magazine two times, half is in Spanish.
Really? Well, that's inspiring then, because yep. that's what's got to happen. Because, the low wages aspect of this, that's where it's all driven from.
Well, that is where it's all driven from.
I mean, am I wrong, or is it just incredibly interesting that the places where they're saying that they've got an illegal immigrant problem that don't have a border with Mexico happen to be right-to-work states?
Exactly. You know, and right to work as well.
Right to starve.
Yeah, exactly. Right to work for less is what we say.
Or not work at all, because there are people who will take that less when you won't.
It's a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
It's a race to the bottom, and that's what, you know, that's where I get upset with is, and like I said, if you want to, you know, if you want to come into community and help us raise our standard of living, you know, we welcome you, and you're welcome to join our unions. You know, if you're going to allow yourself, you know, it's not these people, it's the companies and the corporations that are enemies, not these people. You know, it's the companies that use these people to these people are the most abused people that there are.
Yes, they are.
Because they have that, they have that hammer hanging over their head. You give me any trouble, or if you ask for more money,
I'm calling
immigrations and get rid of you. You know, and they do that.
But realistically, and I imagine you've probably had some experience with this, what happens when you call immigration on, say, a Walmart going up?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, they've told me we don't have time to mess with you. Period.
Well, that did.
You know.
Yeah.
They won't do anything.
Because what I...
And then, you know, I mean, we have... I don't know if you remember a few years ago when they were... What's that big alien spaceship up at the University of Coliseum?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the, you know, West Virginia University Coliseum. Sponsor. Yeah.
Remember when they were doing the asbestos abatement?
Yeah, and they got dinged for...
38.
Yeah.
38 illegal aliens. And not just from Mexico and Honduras. I mean, some of them were from the Ukraine. You know, and I mean, the thing about that was like a $7 or $8 million tax funded job, you know, by the taxpayers of West Virginia. The job was let to a company in Virginia who came and brought all their own people, and we hammered and hammered and yelled and screamed at INS until they finally, well, somebody got arrested, you know, for committing a crime.
Right. Not on the workplace.
No,
like a DUI or fighting in a bar or something.
Right. And then find out, well, they were working at the Coliseum. Well, then finally they came over and they arrested 38 illegal aliens. And then all they do is, send them back. And, nobody goes to jail, even criminals. When they were building a Walmart up in Somersville,
mm-hmm.
They stopped a car with four illegals. One of the illegals had a half a pound of heroin. The other one had $5,000 or $6,000 in his pocket. They took them all, shipped them to Pittsburgh, Nobody was ever prosecuted. They put them on a bus or train or something, sent them back to Mexico. And, you know, I'm sure 2 days later they were all back.
Well, there's a, I can't help but define all of this because, you know, any time there are Republicans involved, there's got to be something dirty going on. And to have people like Sensenbrenner and Tom Tancredo screaming that 11 million people need to go to prison, one, we can't afford 11 million people's worth of prisons.
No, we can't.
And two, you know, for every one of those dudes with the heroin and the cash, there's a whole lot of people that are just busting their ass trying to get by.
Well, yes, there are. That's exactly right.
And
that, you know.
You know, so I hope...
All these guys are doing is trying to feed their family.
Right, and so I look back a century... To the rise of the industrial unions, and I think about how what they call them, hunkies, people from Czechoslovakia, Bohemia, Hungarians, Poles,
cake eaters,
and unions welcomed them.
That's how everybody started.
Yeah,
you know, that's where it all, well, you know, everybody has immigrants.
Right.
I mean, you know, the only guys that, you know, lived here were Native Americans, and I don't know, you were telling me our night, somebody thinks they were Jews. I don't know.
I know. No, don't take me there. Don't take me there.
I mean, but, you know, they're, I don't know. It's,
but no, I mean, yeah, everybody's an immigrant, and you're either a worker or you're not a worker. You know, if it's, you know, when we get into a position where we're talking about Mexican workers versus black workers versus white workers, oops, look, there we are, we're divided, they won.
And I'm going to tell you, too, this argument about, well, both parties want them here. The Republicans want them here for cheap labor, and the Democrats want them here for votes.
Well, they can't vote.
You think register to vote?
Yeah, you're going to, yeah, and, yeah, right.
You're an illegal alien, you're going to get out and register to vote.
No.
You know, No,
that's why the phone calls go out from Republican headquarters about a week in advance of every election, and, you know, little press releases get placed saying, the police have announced that they will be checking voter rolls for people who have outstanding warrants for their arrest.
Right. You know,
it's about keeping poor people, desperate people, scared people the hell away from the polls.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah, this business of Democrats want them here to vote, they can't vote.
No, they can't.
You know, that's one of the reasons that was explained to me, Wayne. I said, you know, do these people understand that their problem is with the Republican Party? And I was told, no. No, because they can't vote. They don't get the political process. They're not that far. You know, the only reason they're allowed to be, the only reason they're in America is for their labor, and nobody gives a damn about them outside of that. I mean, can you imagine, I mean, and you know full well, just based on the way even American workers, you know, citizen workers are treated. Can you imagine what happens to a dude that lops off a finger with a circular saw at a building site? You think they call workers comp?
They wrap a rag around it and keep working, man. That's what they do.
Yeah, you know? And pass out later from loss of blood.
Exactly. It's, you know, these people are, well, they live in fear of being exposed. Like I said, all they're trying to do is feed their families. And, you know... Well, you talk about Walmarts and how, you know, that's what they do. You know, they put the footings, they put up the four walls, and then the rest of the work, they could, you know, they could bring in busloads of illegals to pour all the concrete and do all the stuff, and nobody could see them.
And the reason that happens is because they pay, you know, and I mean, we just got to be square about this. The reason that happens is because the contractor knows that he will make more profit in the long run if he pays less money to his workers.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, I mean, that's been proven time and again here. In Ohio, I mean, where, you know, people, these Republicans especially fight, you know, low-wage Republicans. That's what they are.
Yeah.
You know, that's their whole mantra. And they constantly want to get rid of prevailing wage. Well, you remember, you see what happened to... Well, which has now become the most corrupt state in the union is Ohio. Well, I don't know, maybe Florida. Between them and Florida, it's probably a race.
Yeah.
And I don't know, in 1997 or 98, Ohio got rid of prevailing wage on public school jobs. Do you know what happened to the price of public schools?
Went up.
They went up $16 a square foot. Now, the workers got paid a third of what they got paid in 97, but the price went up $16 a square foot, so who got the money?
Halliburton?
The contractor made more money.
Yeah.
No. Lots more money.
Right.
So, it's not the Democrats, believe me.
No.
So.
And the fact of the matter, there's so much good cop, bad cop going on here, it's just pathetic, Wayne.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
Because, but, there's no way Republicans want to get rid of this cheap labor.
No, there isn't. And what we need in this country more than anything is we need labor laws. We need new labor laws. We have the NLRB and all. If you get enough people to sign cards, then you could petition for an election. And then you petition for the election. Then the election can happen anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months later. And, but that gives the company all the time to threaten and badger, the workers and do all their anti-union campaigns. Then you finally get to an election. If you win the election, then all the law says is that the company has to bargain with the union in good faith.
And then a year later,
the company comes back. They try to play like they bargained in good faith. A year later, they come back and say, we don't feel that you any longer represent a majority of our workers, and they want you to do the whole thing all over again. In Canada, in Europe, they have a card check. You get 51% of the people sign cards in your shop or your group, then the company has to sit down and negotiate a contract with the union. Not just bargaining good faith.
No.
Go get
a contract.
And that's what we need. That's what we need.
Well, why
our
don't
labor
I mean
laws are a joke.
Well,
everybody thinks, it's the greatest country in the world. Other countries don't have this right. Other countries have a lot more rights when it comes to labor laws.
Well,
a lot of other laws for that matter.
Well, look at it. I mean, how many years do you have to work in an average American industry, if there's any left, to have 4 weeks of vacation paid a year?
In this country?
Yeah.
Some places you never get that much, no matter how long you work there.
Right. You get that, year one, year two in most European nations?
Yes.
Five weeks if you're a member of a union?
Yep. Yep.
But,
But
we're the greatest country on earth.
Yes. When I worked in the steel mills for a few years. And my family, a lot of my uncles and, aunts included, too, and people from near Pittsburgh and Aliquippa, retired from the union. Those guys, after 10 years, I'd say you had 6 weeks vacation every year. Then there was a pool that you went into, and depending on what department you were in, every fourth or fifth year, you got 13 weeks.
Paid?
13 weeks paid vacation. And the company would buy back vacation from you. So guys would get, when their 13 weeks came up, they'd sell seven back to the company, and then they'd go on vacation, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
In style.
Yeah, with a vengeance.
In style.
I'm guessing those were union guys.
Yeah, they were union guys, man. Yeah, they were union guys. Unions are great things,
Yeah.
Unions are, you said something to me years ago that has proved to be very true, that George Bush is probably going to turn out to be one of the best friends the unions had. And he is, because he's motivating people to join unions again.
Well, I'm reading some articles here and there that says membership is on the rise.
Yes, it is. And members, West Virginia was one of the few states last year that membership increased. And I think you'll see this year and years following that's going to be a trend that's going to hit more and more states.
God, I hope it does.
I hope it does, too. There's strength in numbers, buddy.
Yeah, we just need to learn how to say that in Spanish.
Yeah, we do. Well, we're learning.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'll send you a copy of an old Carpenter magazine.
Yeah, I'd like to see
that. Every article in there, there's the same article written in Spanish.
Well, it's a start.
Yes, it is.
Because, the thing is, you get around to that contractor in God knows where, and you make him pay a living wage to everybody. You don't have an illegal immigration problem anymore.
No, and I'm gonna tell you, man, these guys are some of the top hands in the business too. I mean, they're hardworking, they're smart. Well, they're good craftsmen.
Yeah,
and we welcome them.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I think we've got to understand that this debate must be carried out on our terms and not the other side's.
Well, you know, I mean, Bob was saying something about there's no black, there's no white, what there is working people.
Right.
And all work is honorable. I don't give a damn what you do. If you clean toilets, there's a proper way to do it. You show up for work every day sober, ready to give them the best 8 hours you can. That's honorable, pal.
Yeah, it is.
That's honorable. And somebody that's willing to do that, it is not too much for that person to ask to be paid a living wage, to have health insurance for him and his family or her and her family, and to be able to retire with dignity. That is not too much to ask.
No, it's almost a bare minimum.
Yes, it is.
It ought to be something that can happen for every single human being in this nation.
Exactly. And you know what? If we did that, the billionaires would still be billionaires.
Yeah.
You know, maybe instead of 28 billion, they'd only have 27. But I bet they wouldn't miss a meal.
Yeah, and I'm guessing they're not going to have to go without an oil change in the Rolls.
No, I don't, you know. Do they know full steak oil?
Well, you know, it's a British automobile. If there's no oil on the floor, there's no oil in the car.
Right, there you go.
Hey, Wayne, you have yourself a great night.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Later now.
Bye.
Bye. It seems simple enough to me. We can deal with this problem sanely, or we can leave it up to the hysterical mob that is the Republican Party to raise it to a fever pitch and scream about it. Those are the only two choices. You got Sane, you got Tom Tancredo. You got Sane, you got James Sensenbrenner. You got Sane, you got Jeff Sessions. You got Sane, you got Nancy Schaefer. I don't see where the debate lies. The only fixing that needs to be done here is with the elimination of hate. Because everything that goes on the Republican side of things is hate-driven. Now, it would not be a bad idea if we could get through to the 500,000 people who are willing to take to the streets in L.A., if we could get through to them that we don't need them in L.A., we need them in Washington, D.C., multiplied about 10 times over, surrounding the White House, and saying, "We won't leave until you do, George. You leave, we go home. You and Cheney, you split. Cheney goes back to Wyoming. You go back to Texas. We go back to work." Seems simple, doesn't it? But I don't have the Spanish to get the idea across. I hope to God that out there somewhere is someone who does. I sincerely, sincerely hope it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, your phone calls, you got about 15 minutes to get a few in if you want to. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Welcome back. 18 minutes before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob, and let's see, odds and ends to close the program. What do you think? Sure, why not? If I can get the papers in my hand. There they are. A couple of things that hit the wires that we haven't talked about because mainly we've been focused on the issue of, the same old issue, Republican hate, and timeout. All right, all better now. No, some stuff that certainly deserved a hard look. Not the least of which something being reported by the BBC as taken from the New York Times. You know how these circles go. Yes, dear.
Nothing. Wrong button, dear.
Wrong button, dear. The New York Times. You know, I think we're going to play music for the next 15 minutes. My concentration is just shattered. The New York Times says it has seen a memo which shows that the U.S. President Bush was firmly set on the path to war 2 months before the 2003 Iraq invasion. Oh, really? I mean, that's Dateline today. This is news? Or that, I get it. This is yet another source proving that. From private talks between George Bush and Tony Blair, the memo makes it clear the U.S. was determined to go to war whether or not Bush had U.N. backing. Now, to us, this is no surprise. But I try to put myself in the shoes of others. I try to see things the way perhaps they might see them. And I can't imagine being the parent of a fallen soldier from the Iraq War, and seeing this yet again, further proof that this war was going to happen come hell, come high water. He is quoted discussing ways to provoke Saddam Hussein into a confrontation. A UK lawyer quoted the note in a book published in January, but this is the first time it's been seen in full. The five-page memo, dated 31 January 2003, was written by Tony Blair's then chief foreign advisor, David Manning. Summarizing the two-hour White House meeting, the memo says, quote, "Our diplomatic strategy had to be arranged around the military planning." Mr. Bush is paraphrased as saying, quote, "The start date for the military campaign was now penciled in for 10 March. This was when the bombing would begin." A second resolution would give us international cover, especially with the Arabs, memo paraphrase of UK Prime Minister Tony Blair. Had enough yet? And I don't just say that to you. I say that to the entire world. Had enough yet? There it is. FBI keeps watch on activists. Dateline today. Like we didn't know it, but no, this, it's the same thing all over again. The FBI, while waging a highly publicized war against terrorism, has spent resources gathering information on anti-war and environmental protesters and on activists who feed vegetarian meals to the homeless, according to agency internal memos. Duh, you think? The Pentagon spies on the American people. The FBI spies on the American people. The NSA spies on the American people. We're so busy spying on the American people, we could have a brand new 9/11 day after tomorrow, and they wouldn't know, because they're too busy spying on the dadgum Quakers. The gravity of the horror which we are facing and which we must do something about should be clearing up and becoming apparent by now, one would think. But I don't know. Let's go to the phones. David is with us from Nashville. Hey, David, you're head on. Yo, David.
Hello, Bob. So the New York Times is catching up to what we knew 3 years ago.
Yeah, it just makes me feel a little silly.
Well, strike the damn metal and call out the brass band. 76 trombones. Would you cue them, please?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it gets under my skin just a little bit, David.
Oh,
because
it gets under my skin that this administration wants to squawk about these various things, and we've got all of this nonsense about immigrants that are here via whatever mechanism, and the magnet, the electromagnet of jobs that mean the world to them based on their economy, but screw an American living here out of a living wage. They've never turned off that magnet. Bob, how many underage kids pursue a liquor store on a Friday night? Quite a few.
Yeah.
They wish, they hope, they'd go there. But gee whiz, the owner, the proprietor of the liquor store will get his butt sent to jail. You know, I had a guy explain to me that I wouldn't be able to get my yard mowed if Mexicans didn't come here by the droves to let him pay them $4 an hour to mow yards so that he could buy a home in a gated community.
A McMansion.
We've got to punish the guy that puts the job out.
Yeah, I mean, you take one of those Walmart building contractors that hires, and I don't want anybody to starve. I don't want anybody to hurt. But if this is a real issue, if you put one of those Walmart contractors in prison for, say, 20 years, and I'm not talking about one of those little ones where one of those nice little gated communities where we send corrupt Republicans.
I would settle for 18 months playing croquet behind razor wire. That would interrupt that guy's ability to play golf. That would interrupt his ability to,
have lunch at the yacht club.
Exactly. Go, you know, go watch Texas play football.
18 months with no ride in the Porsche?
Thank you. You know, that smile on that Boxster driver does not come from the shape of that seat. It comes from the fact, well, we'll leave that for another time.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, we've got to begin to punish, and it's ludicrous that we think we can't make laws about the guys that hire and entice and beg the illegal worker. You know, I sent you an email. Make pulling onions a living wage job. There won't be an onion in the ground in North America.
No, there won't.
It's that freaking simple.
Then why is it such a chore? I mean, why do people, David, why do they buy into this whole business of, you know, it's a national security issue. Lupe is going to bring a dirty bomb across in her dress.
I don't think so. Have you ever seen what those people have to do to cross?
Yes.
I mean, my Lord, they turn up dead in cargo vans. They turn up dead in deserts where there isn't any water after they've mortgaged their soul to pay a coyote incredible money to be guided here. Oop, there's the border. See ya.
Yeah.
Vamanos.
You do that too well.
CC's se puede. Yes, yes, we can. That's what they say in Los Angeles. That's the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
CC's se puede. Yes, yes, it is possible.
Well, this idea that, and again, it's a way of demonizing yet another set of people with slightly different skin color. And
we put hundreds of thousands of dollars in tens of thousands of millionaires' pockets.
Yeah. Who, like Wayne said, you know, if he made $27 billion instead of $28 billion, he'd probably never miss it.
Oh, he would at the club because he would have lost the race to $30 million with his friend.
Well, you know, there is that prestige issue.
Oh, golly. Gee willikers, you know. Oh, he's worth more than I am. I'm a failure.
Oh, poor Nedwick.
Exactly. Oh, more Lark's Vomit Canapé, would you, Fred?
Yeah. I mean, I don't often verge off into that whole eat the rich thing, David. But it's stuff like this that kind of makes me want to. This idea, you know,
don't dare do it, Bob. They're high in cholesterol.
Yeah, all that fat. But
exactly.
You know, how many million jobs have we deliberately shipped out from under American workers in the form of outsourcing?
I work in an industry that watches that kill my industry every single day. I watch that. I am schooled in that. I have to live with that. I have to watch it erode my ability in an industry that 5 years ago most of us in this industry thought was bulletproof. Well, it's not. Anything we can do here, they can do there for a tenth of the money eventually.
Right.
If we beg them to do it, if we push it toward them, if we force them into it.
Well, and see,
make sure we don't. If we make sure we do not equip ourselves to do it, they will do it for us.
Well, that's some of the stupidity behind things like NAFTA, David. You know, we thought, well, you know, we can send a few American industry jobs down to Mexico, and maybe the Mexicans will stay there. And the geniuses that came up with that never dreamed for an instant that maybe they'd pay 15 cents an hour in Mexico.
And all they could say was, all of those markets will be wide open to us. The city of Memphis buys more retail goods that we could make than all of Central America. Hello, balance that equation.
That's why I keep saying it's a con, David, and it is.
Yeah. One of the biggest.
What are the three rules? You can't cheat an honest man, never give a sucker an even break, and don't smarten up a chump.
And yeah, greed drives all great falls. You know,
greed kills.
Thank you. Short version, and it works.
Hey, David, thanks so much. We've got to roll out of here.
Bob, thanks for the chance, and it's such a great pleasure to be listening to what you do.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for being there.
See
Bye now. All right, then. That's tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. Hope you will, too. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Randy Kerbway is our engineer. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream of this program that you listen to live, as well as the archives and podcasting service that you listen to later on. He's got a fundraiser going, almost to his goal. If you haven't helped already, it's time to help. Our good friend Joe Vecchio of cupofjoe.blogspot.com also has a fundraiser going on. He could use your help. The show is brought to you every night by the dedicated thousands of workers from the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream, and with the support of the Head On Radio Network, they are rebuilding the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.